We're back. Welcome to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast. We got two hosts. We got Mr. Grumpy Gills over there. His name is Hunter Talbot. Oh,
thank you for that very loving introduction.
And then we got Mr. Pep in his step. That's me, Rope Dog.
We have a first, a new series, if you will, which is The History Of, where we kind of go through an entire band's history or catalog, more or less.
Yeah.
Kind of talk about it, see where they were in their headspaces, trying to find interviews or anything that's going to give it a little, where you could hopefully learn something.
Yeah.
And then we can just tell you our opinions, because clearly that's what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
So, in the most what's the word I'm looking for? Non-like douchey way possible.
Gatekeeper.
Sure. I didn't expect that answer. But Roper.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about here?
I don't know. I've read a pretty good interview about the that'll be at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, closer towards the end of the catalog. And I learned a lot.
You know what? I think I've only listened to maybe like 60% of the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Like all their early stuff, like EPs, I've never listened to before.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the cool experience. And then on top of that, there was their second record that I have had very little experience with. So it was a super eye-opening moment for me, because I do really love the story so far, but I just never like got into them as much as everyone else did. So it was fun. I'm really excited. So should we jump in?
Let's dive right in.
Okay, so we figured we start with the basic, the members of the band.
Members.
Okay, so Parker Cannon with a question mark. He's got lead vocals there. Then we have Kevin Grier on guitar, William Levy on guitar, and Ryan Torf on drums. So those are the current members.
Yes.
Probably.
Probably.
I'll get back to that in a sec. But past members, we got Kellen Carpenter. He was the former bass player. That was actually big news recently.
Yeah, that was earlier this summer. Mm-hmm. He said he was the second person to get kicked off stage by Parker Cannon.
Oh, he got kicked off stage?
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
I don't know. I guess, I don't know, the big beef, I don't think there's a beef between them necessarily, but like...
So like creative differences? Is there a video?
Must have been. No, they were playing a show together and... There had been rumors before that they weren't getting along anymore.
Uh-huh.
And so they both, like, unfollowed each other on Instagram.
God.
And so everybody's like, oh, they must not like each other. And then, and, like, Kellen Carpenter, he's, like, more upfront on social media than Parker Cannon is.
Does Parker even post anything?
I don't think so.
I feel like he just steers very far away from
Yeah, if
that.
Anything, he just posts no pressure stuff and pictures of himself. But yeah, so I think Kellen Carpenter is just kind of done with the pop punk genre.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they were having some creative differences and him and Parker must have gotten into it before the show. And Parker's like, all right, you get the boot.
See you later.
Send him off stage. So
that's kind of crazy. And the last final former member was Kevin Ambrose, which was a guitar player.
Yeah.
He must have been much earlier on.
He was like in the beginning of the band, which is kind of insane because like with this band being together for over
a decade,
15 years now, like their lineup has not changed that much. Or if anything at all, you know?
What I've noticed is, like, most bands that are popular generally don't have a lot of changes. Like, maybe one or two. You know, you can't prevent everything.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of, like, having a successful band leads to good teamwork and communication and stuff. And it's like a relationship, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Except you have to add, like, three or four more people to it.
Yeah.
So, anyway... Parker Cannon, big old question mark. A little bit of juicy news if you've been listening to our news episodes. Sounds like he may no longer be a part of the story so far. Here's my theory. Here's my theory. I think the second record, or the quote-unquote final record, potentially, because if Parker Cannon leaves, I don't think they're going for another record.
Yeah, I don't think, because they're all kind of like done with pop punk initially.
I think it's already recorded.
Yeah.
And ready to go. It could probably be past the mixing and mastering phase.
Yeah.
So, like, with the here I go again. The Wonder Years record release, there was a lot of news that it would have been out a lot sooner if they could have got the vinyl printed on time.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming maybe it's a very similar situation where they just haven't announced anything yet because they don't really even know when they can get it printed. But it just seems suspicious. Like,
I think if anything, this is going to be like their final run.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of sad.
Cause end of an era, dude.
End of an era, yeah.
But we're only speculating. We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, the story so far began as a group of friends who made music together in high school. Dropping out of college, they decided to pursue a dream to focus on the band. Little did they know they would redefine a genre that was dying out from the more pop-style bands than punk bands. They quickly developed a more tight, professional sound and signed with Pure Noise Records in 2010 and recorded their EP While You Were Sleeping and garnering attention with a consistent touring schedule all over the world, Roper.
Hey, isn't that neat?
That is pretty neat. I always like hearing like the beginning styles. I think these guys were like, I guess a lot of bands start in like high school, college time, so it's not that surprising. But I think with especially their first record, Under Soil and Dirt, like Parker writes like he has been doing this for like 15 years.
Oh yeah.
You know, like we'll definitely jump into that more. But very modest beginnings. And I guess we're ready to talk about a few EPs.
Yeah.
Which how about you announce those, Roper?
All right. The EPs in question that we're talking about are While You Were Sleeping. And they're split with the band Maker.
We're just going to start it off with our standout song. And we'll just kind of give our thoughts on it. Because Roper chose mine, I picked Allie. It was nice to hear the roots of this record because it was like a stripped down first record.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like the guitar work was super well done. I feel like they just missed out on the proper tones and like it being mixed to where like it would actually sound like if they were to record it today exactly how it was written back then, I think it would be almost as popular. I do think that Parker's lyricism has definitely improved since here, which is like expected, right?
Yeah.
But
his flow's a lot different now too.
It does, yeah. He does have the very rhythmic flow to him. Yeah. Almost kind of like I want to maybe compare it to hip hop a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. So he does. He's always been really great at that. And it only improves on from here. Oh, Roper.
Yeah.
The lack of yelling.
I know, right? Actual singing on it?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. He does have like a really controlled yelling voice. Like it's not like this just I want to explain it kind of like a metal band scream or something, you know. Like it's just very like it's not wide. It's very like centered, if that makes sense. And it was really cool to hear like an early version of like Mount Diablo.
Yeah.
Because I was like there was like parts where there was or on the record it's it has like background vocals that I was trying to sing along to it. I'm like, oh,
it's not there.
It's not there. So yeah, it was great. I feel like if I would have heard this today and I'd be like, oh, this is a brand new band. I can see the success coming.
Yeah.
From it because a lot of times bands don't have like the exposure, which leads to the money to make the records that, you fall in love with because there just wasn't a lot of production value to it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't really understand how important that is to probably your favorite record.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's kind of what I thought. What do you think, Roper?
Nice. 680 South and Snyder Street are both like my 680 South is off the split with Maker.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually play that one quite a bit at their shows, which is fucking dope.
Yeah, that was the one I originally was looking at.
You should have picked it.
That's okay.
And then Snyder Street is off of While You Were Sleeping. And it's so fucking good. Like, the beginning of it is, like, kind of iffy, but when they're like, take me back to Snyder Street, na 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 na, that's my favorite part of the song. Like, it just kind of changes the pace of the whole song.
Which one are we going to play for the listening?
Let's play 16.
Maybe next year I'll miss your best.
But yeah, both of those songs are fucking dope. This is a nice, less aggressive beginning for the band, and you could see the seeds that were planted to grow in the future.
Well, absolutely. That's what I mean. It's really cool to always go back to your favorite band's earlier work.
Oh yeah.
See how much they've changed and grown and like the directions, like just because like almost like a genre switch.
Yeah.
You know, to where like they could have like for instance, the story so far started punk and kept going punk.
Yeah.
And then but like I'm trying to think of like an example of a band that definitely switched it up. I mean, like I hate to do it, but the Wonder Years, easy core in the beginning.
I told you.
it's just like my like standard for everything. No. So, but yeah, it was very easy core in the beginning to the point where like Dan Campbell's like, I fucking hate, hate those songs. And then everyone's like, we love them, Dan, please play them. And he doesn't. So,
nope.
Yeah. Overall, what'd you like, if you had to give it like a score out of 10, what do you think you'd give it?
I'd probably give him solid 6 or 7s.
I'd hit it with a 7. Yeah.
Just because I don't really go back to them as much as I do the albums.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily that it's like hard for me to go back to them. It's just like they weren't in my constant rotation.
Yeah, I'd give it a 7 for like it being interesting. Yeah. And like as an overall, I'd probably give it like a 6.
Yeah.
So I feel where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
But that leads us to potentially their biggest release.
I would say so. Or their most like
well known, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that. But anyway, that would be From Under Soil and Dirt, which dropped in 2011. Man, okay, so. My favorite song off this record is always going to be Swords and Pens. I know that you like don't care for it, which is very depressing to me because it is by far the best song on the record. So instead I decided
debatable.
To go, it's not, decided to go with the song Quicksand. This I love Quicksand. It was originally my favorite off the record. Yeah. And then I think there was a time where I was just playing it on repeat. And then one time it just went to the next song, which was Swords and Pens. And I was like, wait, this is better. So it was a cool little thing. But yeah, so much improvement from this in our earlier work. It's like literally incomparable. I think it was from the producer, which I'll talk about in just a little bit.
Okay.
But so good. Absolutely no skips whatsoever. I think this is their best record, in my humble opinion. There are songs on other records I would put above some songs on this record, but I do think that overall, as a, like a record as a whole, I think it's their best. But that's just my humble opinion. Roper, what do you think?
Honestly, like if I had to go with a standout track from this record, it's always going to be High Regard. First time I heard that song, it just changed. It changed my life. This record, first time I heard it, it was like, oh, wow. There's actual, like, real emotion behind these words. It's because, like, you have to, back in the day, like, I thought pop punk was bands like Mayday Parade. And, like, I think the heart, like, by then I was listening to The Wonder Years, but there wasn't as much aggression behind like the lyric content. I listened to like Set Your Goals and stuff too, but there's just something about Parker Cannon's vocals on this whole record that was just like, holy shit, he's pissed off that a girl broke his heart. I'm pissed off too. And I actually like you actually feel the same feelings that he does when he's actually singing it. You live vicariously through those lyrics, and it was just life changing for me. I
really think, yeah, it's one of those records that really stands out.
It was just so insane because it literally came out of nowhere for me.
Mm-hmm.
My friend just played it while we were hanging out in our living room, and I was like, who the fuck is this? And changed my life forever. But some other songs that I like off of this, I really dig Placeholder and like Rally Cap and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
just some other those are just some suggestions other than like the typical like Daughters, Rome, and Mount Diablo. But like this album has no skips. I'm always gonna love this album. It just fucking rules, dude.
Speaking of Daughters,
yeah,
I was reading one of the many interviews.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Is it the misogynistic
thing? How they're like, they were born in misogyny.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God.
It's eye-rolling that like they had to like fit that into a fucking like article or interview.
Yeah, where it was like talking about basically what we're doing, the history
Honestly just devaluing like their lyrics or their feelings at the time. Yeah. Like, everything just has to be so fucking like political now. It just pisses me off.
It's the worst. And it's like, if a woman like said like the comparison for a man in a song, she would be celebrated.
Beyonce has a song called If I Was a Boy. And that's like shitting on men. But we don't fucking call out Beyonce for that.
Because I don't give a fuck.
Because everybody's like, yeah, sister, you tell them.
It's just this, I hope I don't get hate for this, but like this girl power thing where they're like, well, fuck all men. And it's like, I hate that.
I just think it's the rise, it's the social media aspect of everything. Everybody's got an opinion now and everybody's grouping together. They want to be a part of some sort, some certain like niche or group. And it's like, dude, just, I don't care.
Just chill, guys.
I just want to be me and I want people to leave me the fuck alone.
I just don't want to be hated for no reason other than
yeah, just
dick.
Because I'm a boy.
Yeah.
Or a man.
Just because I'm a boy.
I'm a real man.
I don't want you to be hated.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. All right. Let's move past this. So I did find some like just a little fun tidbits on this. So throughout the writing and the recording process, the band was like really inspired by Transit's Keep This to Yourself, which dropped in 2010. All the band members loved the record and they thought it was next level, and that's why they went with the producer they did. And I think that is why this record sounds the way it does.
Yeah.
It is so fucking good. And I think it really all stems from having a producer.
Yeah.
Someone who's like willing to guide you. And there are some musicians that can do it themselves.
Yeah.
But I really think I've always wondered, like, what if they did have a producer? Like, would it be better or would it actually be worse? Because, like, it's kind of like a relationship to where, you know, if you could have a really good relationship with a producer and, like, your ideas, like, bounce back and forth really well and then, like, you guys create something amazing. Or you can have a relationship that's kind of shitty where, like, the producer's telling you to do one thing and you're like, that's my favorite part of the song. And he's like, it's not good and blah, 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 blah.
It's,
you
like,
know?
One-sided.
Yeah, it's like, it's you're not listening to each other,
yeah,
essentially. And I think that's what makes great records is when, you know, constantly giving ideas, advice, but not taking away the soul of the song, which is,
yeah,
you know,
misogyny in this case.
Jesus Christ. So Levy found it difficult to write material since Carpenter lived an hour away and Cannon lived 6 hours away.
Oh, wow.
So there was a lot of writing from like states away, sounds like.
Damn.
Which is pretty cool, to be honest. It's really difficult to write music with someone that is states away. And that's today. This was 2010.
Yeah.
So a completely different experience there. I don't even know how they did it, just email, I guess. They'd have to record it and like send it through email, and
it's like in the movie Rockstar when the kid gets grounded and they all have to set up their webcams.
What is Rockstar?
It's got the guy who plays Dwight Schrute in it, and he's like a drummer in a failed band, and he starts a band with his nephew, and Teddy Geiger's in it.
You opened up this like memory that like I thought that was completely gone.
Oh, that movie rules.
No, I need to watch it. It sounds awesome. And then lastly, Carpenter said that the album was received really well, which is obvious.
That's kind of an understatement.
Yeah, I think this was said probably like right when it dropped, and it just like gained even more fame as time went on. It was included at the number 26 spot on Rock Sounds, the 51 most essential pop punk albums of all time list.
Wow.
That's kind of cool. That's like a big honor.
It's a huge honor.
So yeah, that's what I found on this record, and it's dope. Roper, what do we got next?
We've got What You Don't See and Clairvoyance split with Stick to Your Guns.
Stick to Your Guns. I remember that band. Are they still around?
I don't know. I never really listened to them.
I haven't listened to them a ton by any means. I just remember the name and like the core memory of me going, this is okay.
I never stuck to my guns.
Yeah, you should stick to your guns, my dude. Yeah. You should listen to that artist give you some inspiration. Come on, keep with it. All right, so standout tracks for me out this guy. I got two. It's between Small Talk and Right Here, but I think I'm going to go with Small Talk. I love it. I think it was one of the songs I already knew, which probably gave it that advantage.
Yeah.
Like, but I think it just had a lot of, it was really catchy. And I was like, yes. Because when, like, Cannon's throwing out those catchy hooks, like, they hit fucking
right
hard.
Here's got some really catchy flow and hooks in it too.
Yeah. I was shocked that I knew the song. I was like, how, when did I ever listen to this? But I knew it. So who knows? Who knows how I do things? So this felt like a part two to Under Soil and Dirt, but I enjoyed it as such. I thought it was a great continuation. I had a blast with this album, even though I didn't get to spend a ton of time with it like some of the others. So it was cool. It was like hearing, it was almost like hearing a new release from the band.
Yeah.
Because like this one was just one I skipped over a ton.
Oh, man, you missed out.
I know. I know. I feel ashamed. I know a lot of people hate me right now.
Yeah.
As for the split... The Clairvoyant split. Very different side of the band.
Yeah.
I loved Clairvoyant. I think it may be their best acoustic song, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
Okay. Loro, on the other hand, was kind of weird.
I feel like Stick to Your Guns, that was the Stick to Your Guns song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they have Parker Cannon on it.
Oh, maybe that's what I was like. Oh, this wasn't about that song.
Yeah.
I was like, this. Like, I didn't hate it, but I was like, this just sounds weird. And we'll get to the other. There's another EP that... I'm going to rip to shreds, but...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I'm sure you do. But yeah, that's how I felt. Great split, or great song off the split. Great second record. I do wish, now that I'm thinking about it, that there would have been a little bit more maturity. I don't even want to say maturity, because I'm going to shit on that idea in a bit later. but like, I just want like something else. You know, it really felt like, for instance, if I jumbled up the first and second record songs and just randomly put them on a record. Like, no, I feel like no one would hear the difference between the songs.
Honestly, I feel like their first record was such a huge fucking success that they were already like into writing the second record when it came out. I feel like they had such a like small window of time to write new music.
Yeah, it was like only a few years.
Yeah, because there's only a 2 year difference between both records. So I feel like it was one of those situations where they were writing back to back.
Well, don't worry, I got some interviews, so maybe I will
shed some light on that. We'll find out. So my standout track from this, I've really been going back to Framework a lot lately. The subject matter, like in the first album, like he's like clearly pissed off at a girl and stuff, and then the subject matter of Framework, he's like, "How'd this happen?" He talks about letting the girl in and stuff, and like you wouldn't expect that. So I like the change of content on that one. But like, this album came out a month or two after I heard from Under Soil and Dirt the first time, and it was like now I get more, you know? It's nice to see the anger and aggression return to form, but also seeing the change in writing and Framework, like I just said.
Yeah, I do appreciate that, because it was very much a one-topic album, for that, which is fine. That's okay. It's kind of a trend.
Yeah. And then some more like standout track. I mean, this album was one of my favorite albums for the longest time. It's really hard for me to pick which is my favorite Story So Far album, just because I have like spent so much time with each of them that I love them all almost equally.
They're all your children.
All my children.
What the fuck?
Chillin'. Split. The split was a nice change of pace, because like you got to see a new side to the Story So Far with Clairvoyant, and that song fucking exploded too. It was all over like It was all over the internet, and people were making memes out of it. Oh, it was great.
What a time to be alive. I feel like, actually, that wasn't long ago.
It was 2013.
13?
Yeah, 2013 or 14. Honestly, Clairvoyant's probably my ultimate, like, emo, sad boy jam.
Mm-hmm. That it for you?
Yeah, dude.
Okay. I got some interviews.
Yeah, cool.
I'm glad you think so. You're going to sit through it. So the guitarist, William Levy, said that the new album was heavier and more melodic. I think I would agree with the heavier thing, but I don't know about the melodic thing. I feel like it's very similar.
Maybe in certain songs.
Sure. I guess I could agree with that.
Yeah.
But anyway, compared to Under Soil and Dirt, obviously their first record, Levy reassured that the album is still us. Okay. So they're like, I feel like they really garnered a fan base that they were like,
oh, yeah,
please keep coming back.
Keep defending pop punk.
Mm-hmm. But he says it was also more focused, which is, I think I could agree with that as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
The song structures were thought out a little better, and the parts that they came up with were more interesting. Carpenter mentioned that the group were not trying to write something stylistically different, which is very apparent, to their previous material. The new material shows maturation. Is that a word?
Maturation.
Yeah. Maturation. It shows more maturation. But retains the same youthful energy and angst we've always loved. Some reviews have been like generally highly positive, which is great. The Metacritic score of 84 indicating universal acclaim.
Wow.
I didn't know that meant that it was universal acclaim. Alternative Press describes the album as thoughtful and passionate. Very, yes. One that will help the young listeners navigate the murky waters of growing up. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that when I put that. I was like, that's really, that might be the most cool thing that you've said.
AP.
Alternative Press, yeah. But anyway, another one I found. And this one's going to be a mouthful, so.
It's being lengthy.
Hold on to your seats. So the interviewee asked, people always say the second album is the tricky one. Is that true? Which is like a really cool question because it's called the sophomore slump for a reason.
Yeah.
So anyway, I believe it was Cannon said, it really is. It's been about a year now since we released it. It'll be a year in March, especially when you live on tour and album cycle. I mean, it's been years now since we released Under Soil and Dirt, which is crazy. But this one, What You Don't See, was definitely different to write because by the time we were writing it, there was pretty much demand for it. And not just that, but people obviously had expectations or, you know, whatever. So we tried to put it in the back of our heads, but you know, we write the music we write because it's the music we're good at writing. We were in a weird place when we were starting as a band where we weren't trying to be anything particular. It was just a matter of timing where we were lucky enough to be writing the music that comes naturally to us and have it fit the wave that was coming. I guess the second album is the relief album and it's kind of a weight off your shoulders. So by the third one, we feel good about going into it. We've been writing a lot. So I know some big news for the, which is kind of interesting. I'm going to bring this back up in a second, but they have an EP that comes before their third record.
Yeah.
So everything I've mentioned, like they don't even mention it. I feel like they tried to wipe it from the internet because it was so hard to find anything on
Their interviews.
Yeah. Their interviews, especially with anything EP related. So,
yeah.
Either way, it's cool to see like their headspace with potentially going into a new record because once you write something so successful, like
it's hard to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tremendous amount of pressure on it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like last week with Ben Quad, when they were talking about how they were scared to write their, not necessarily scared, but they felt the pressure of the follow up to their most recent album.
And they should because
fucking banger, dude.
Banger little EP / album, whatever. What was it, like 7 songs or something?
Yeah.
Regardless.
Still great.
Yeah, what's your overall thoughts on the second record here? Oh, and don't forget the Clairvoyant split.
My overall thoughts?
Your overall thoughts on it.
Dude, I love it so much.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been a 10 out of 10 for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd give it like an 8 or 9 just because I think I prefer the first record and that's a 10 and like I can't give it the same score.
You can.
Yeah, but can't. So
I don't see why not, but.
Well, it's fine. So anyway, we're moving on.
I didn't get to rank the first one, but that's okay. We don't have to.
That's okay. What would you rank it? I'm pretty sure you did. Oh, maybe I didn't.
I give it a solid 10.
Solid 10?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I can give them all 10s.
You can give every single one a 10?
not the EPs.
Speaking of, we have their EP Songs of 2014. My standout track would be Bad Luck. Where's your nicest way possible. Not a huge fan of this release.
That's okay.
It is interesting to hear the acoustic side of the band, but especially for like the time they were in, I don't think it was like the best time.
No.
I feel like it was like a really hard 180 for like diehard fans that they're like, oh yeah, I want this aggressive shit. And they're like, here is some acoustic guitar and bongo drums. So that was kind of a weird move on their end. But I think the idea was they had a few decent ideas for songs, and then the rest were kind of just thrown together for a quick release to hold people over, which is fine, you know? Yeah. Like, it's, I guess, I don't know if this is true, but sometimes it's better to have some content than no content at all, even if it's not the greatest release. So, I would give this, like, out of 10, like, probably, like, a 5.
That's a pretty reasonable rating for
you
this.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, go for it. Oh, Navy Blue is my second one, just.
Navy Blue is my first. This frustrates me bad, 'cause I can't stay mad, and you won't change anything that I'd. She told me don't think like that, it's really not that bad. I hope this makes you sad, I hope this makes you sad. Such a beautiful song, even though it's like sad. I think honestly the reason why they put out this EP is because they had such success with Clairvoyant.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
But they also didn't really write for this EP. They wrote Navy Blue, that's about it. And then used some acoustic songs or acoustic versions of songs from What You Don't See. It's all right. Like, I have the vinyl and I'll just put it on every once in a while.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't ever go out of my way to just listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in particular. I don't really think other than Navy Blue, I would really, like, for instance, I said I like Bad Luck. Actually, Navy Blue was my original favorite, but wrote that one down. So, in the interest of you hearing two different songs off this, I chose Bad Luck. But yeah, Navy Blue is definitely the standout.
Oh, yeah.
For this
guy. I absolutely despise the Bob Marley cover, though.
Yeah, I know. You've talked about it before.
It's so fucking terrible.
Is that the bongo drums one?
That's the, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Me and one of my friends had, like, we had this thought for the longest time that they just can't write acoustic tracks besides Clairvoyant and Navy Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, slower tracks because they're so used to being so upbeat. Or not upbeat, but more aggressive.
Like, they have, like some of, like, the, especially with the last album, but I'm thinking of, like, Phantom off of their self-titled. Like, not, it's not acoustic, but it's not,
it's
like,
slower.
Yeah, it's slower, it's clean guitars, it's, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So.
It's different.
I definitely think they can do it, but I think their talent definitely lies within the heavy aggressive stuff, so. I couldn't find any interviews on this. I tried.
That's okay.
It was a hard one. And I don't think they want to talk about it anymore.
No. So. I think it was kind of, we put out Clairvoyant. Let's do some more acoustic stuff. Oh, wait, we only have one acoustic song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oof. So, anyway, next one we got is self-titled.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Which dropped in 2015, which was my catalyst record for this band.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I had heard songs from the other records, but I don't know if I ever, like, gave them a full spin.
Yeah.
So, when, and 2015 is the best record for pop punk, or best year for pop punk.
Yeah, that was such a great
State
year.
Champs, The Wonder Years, so I was, like, going to Target and buying the CDs.
Same here, dude.
Yeah, because they had, like, the extra songs on them.
We'd go on our lunch break.
Really?
Just,
I went on my lunch break. Yeah. That's so funny. What Target
we talked about this before.
I know, but I forget stuff. It's not my fault.
Yeah,
but anyway, my standout track, by far, easily Heavy Gloom. It got so much deeper. Why would I wanna see you? Only at one day, and I don't wanna sleep. I love Heavy Gloom. There's something about the drums in that song where you're just like, whoa, fuck. It's so good. It's like almost like, it almost sounds like a lead
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just the tones and, it's so fucking good. It may be my favorite song by them.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But anyway, I like this album, although I feel like it lost a lot of, like, the fun, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like the lead guitars really took a step back in this record for
some
reason.
I can see that.
Yeah, like, I feel like the rhythm guitars definitely, like, went ahead and took center stage. Lead guitars are, like, obviously in there, but they're more for not standout, but to, like, just kind of, like, build the track overall.
Yeah, I can
see
that.
Just to make it more full, which is, like, great on its own. But, like, I think they have some, like, killer lead parts that, like, just absolutely dropped on this record.
Yeah.
The sound is more refined and mature, but I feel like a lot of the songs sound the same. I wanted your opinion on that. What do you think about that?
A lot of the songs sound the same?
Yeah, I feel like off this record, a lot of the songs are, like, super similar.
I could see that, especially, like, with the songs that weren't singles.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the songs that, like, I don't know. I see what you're talking about, especially with, like, Heavy Gloom and Solo both have these certain, like, vocal parts that flow really mm-hmm. fast, where he sings really fast, and that kind of sounds similar. I don't know if I'm the best person to describe this, but yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
Sure. And like I said earlier, I think the drums stood out, like, on Heavy Gloom for sure, but
yeah,
as, like, the whole record, the drums really, like, I think they stood out so much more than any of the other records.
Maybe it was his turn to shine, you know?
I think it was. But anyway, overall, great record, but not my favorite.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Roman.
My standout track is Murder. It's all in my head. There's not much I can do. You said your face. I'll keep my truth. Each time I chase, I feel dark blue. Confuse your face for someone new. I think it's honestly one of their best songs. And it's kind of a hidden gem.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, dude, song is so fucking aggressive.
I think this record may be the most slept on out of all theirs.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's underrated.
I feel like a lot of, like, bands' self-titled records are the ones that are slept on.
I know,
on,
we talked about one. Go back and listen to our 4 Year Strong self-titled record album review, please.
Such a slept on record.
Please. Such a slept on episode for us.
So slept on. Go watch it now.
Slept King.
Listen.
But yeah, dude, this might honestly be, like, my favorite album by them. I just have so much nostalgia for that album and this year in particular, mm-hmm. 2015.
Yep, same.
Like, oh, dude, just so many good albums came out that year within 2015, 2016 span. Oh, my God, dude.
Can't believe you're about to say what you're going to say next.
What am I about to say?
Front to back, no skips except for Phantom.
Are you going to let me say it?
You
this
asked.
Album was on repeat when it came out, front to back, no skips, except for Phantom.
How dare you?
I
like Phantom because it, like, breaks it up.
I could see that.
It was it's like a nice little palate cleanser.
Yeah, but when I listened to the story so far back in the day,
mm-hmm.
I was like, just give me all the anger, dude.
Yeah, you're an aggressive little boy.
I was. That was 2015. That's 7 years ago.
Yeah, what was
I? I was 22.
I was 19.
An angry 22-year-old.
Yeah.
Still an angry 29-year-old. So.
Yeah.
Nothing's both. Changed. Yeah, dude, this record, and I don't know. I have so many feelings behind it, but I have feelings about all these records, so it's really hard for me to pick a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Like, gun to your head, would you have an answer or would you just get shot?
I'd probably just get shot.
Okay.
I just say, songs up.
Dude, if I was the one holding the gun, I would just shoot you anyway.
He's like, I'm going to kill you anyway.
That was definitely not the right answer.
No.
Okay. So what interviews did you scavenge up?
I found one by spotlightreport.net, and Kellen Carpenter, he does a lot of their press from 2013 on,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool. So they asked, like, compared to your previous albums, the self-titled record has a sense of maturity that plays a huge part on its musicianship and lyrics. How did this come about? And then Kellen said, I think it's sort of natural as a band gets older and people say that their music is more refined. I feel there's a purpose behind that based on the fact that all individuals are getting older and their perspective represents maturity. We've been playing music consistently for the last 7 years. We have a lot more time to kind of understand the way music has taught us and what music is, and understand the appropriateness to place parts and refrain from doing certain things in songwriting. In this record, I think we've been able to take all those ideas and really put them together on an album, and it brings out a lot of all the individual players on the record. So that's kind of some cool like insight on.
Was that Cannon saying that? Do you know?
That was Kellen Carpenter.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah, so this was kind of an interesting question right here. He said, following up on that, did you guys do anything differently that you didn't have the confidence to do in the past for the self-titled record? Kellen said, yes and no. We didn't have a producer on this album, so no one was ever telling us what to do. We worked with a producer on a second album, which you don't see, obviously. And it's not necessarily that he was telling us what to do. He was trying to be a guiding end in the process. A lot of the time he would try and steer things one way or the other. That was kind of weird having someone work like that. In this album, it was all just us guiding the process, and it was all our own suggestions and all our own ideas. And when I say that, I don't mean to imply that a producer ever wrote or did anything like that for us. We just didn't have that element in the studio this time around. So it was really just us getting the process, getting down and writing the songs and motivating ourselves to put everything together. In a way, we sound a lot more organic based on our own ideas, just because we were the only ones suggesting ideas and putting together or anything in that nature. So it's kind of cool, like, to see that they didn't go in with a producer.
I see
it. But I feel like it kind of pigeonholed them.
Yeah.
To only playing what was familiar.
I guess it's weird because I could have swore when I was on Google, which, I mean, sure, it's Wikipedia, it could be wrong, but I could have swore they had a shit ton of producers on this album.
I don't know.
I thought that was going to be my point, where I was like, I think that the reason why was because there were so many producers, yeah. And they kind of like just, they're like, well, let's just do the basicness of everything. So, I don't know. That's weird. Okay, man, I'm just going to assume that I'm wrong because this is coming from the band member's mouth. Yeah. But either way, if that's the case, then I always respect people or bands for trying that.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's nice to have someone that's not in the heat of songwriting to be like, that's not your best idea.
Yeah, and it's good to try new things that a producer offers.
Mm-hmm.
So
a good producer doesn't tell you what to do. A good producer offers advice.
Yeah.
Let's
go to the next album.
Okay, sounds good. And that one leads us to our final album.
Yeah, dude.
On their discography for now. And that would be Proper Dose, which dropped in 2018.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
Oh, dude.
I'm excited to talk about this one. So,
me too, man.
I'm going to say my standout song is If I Fall. I love If I Fall. Love.
Sick of all the whack shit you getting into. Think about. Bam, bam.
You know my favorite part of the song?
What's that?
The very beginner with the lighter sound.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's genius. Anyway, my favorite song on the record is Basic, and it's Take Me As You Please. But it just sounds so beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Anyway, so I think this was such an interesting choice of direction for the band. I don't think my standout song, like if you'd never listened to the record, is a great example of that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, this record is very like
so
somber.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very somber, laid back, more about, I don't want to say telling a story because Parker's always been good at that, but almost like in a different way. It's kind of like you were reading books this whole time and then this is a movie and you're like, oh, it's still a great story and it's just told in a different way, which is cool. So I really like the tone they went for. Also, something interesting I kind of picked up on, this record really let the bass shine.
Yeah, it did.
Like, oh my God. And I was like, oh yeah, there's bass.
Yeah.
I was like hearing a little bass, like, movements, and I was like, and like, I always figured the bassist was really good.
Yeah.
But I just didn't realize how much he was actually adding to it, because everything was, I think the guitars and especially the drums really took up a lot of that space. So it didn't give a lot of room for the bass to shine in previous records. But I don't know everything, so I could be wrong. Maybe I just have bad hearing. Unique effects on certain guitars really made songs on this record stand out. Like, there was a lot more production, for better or worse.
Yeah.
I always like hearing people's opinion on this as, like, a Story So Far fan, because I think it's very split.
I think at first it was super polarizing, mm-hmm. because they heard the first singles and they're like, this is not the band that we love.
Yeah.
And then once the album actually came out, they're like, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think they just had to, like,
You had to listen to it first.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, just when a band releases a new record, sure, you like the band from their previous work.
Yeah.
But just because it's a different sound doesn't mean you can't enjoy it as well. And I think this is the probably the best example of that.
Oh, I agree with that.
I can't think of a better one. So, anyway, not sure if I, like want more aggressive work in the future, or if I want to stick to more of this kind of a sound.
Yeah.
I think with Heavy Dose, what's the fucking
Proper Dose?
Proper Dose. Jesus Christ.
Where are you at?
I don't listen to it. I think from the small amounts of Proper Dose that I've listened to, I would lean more towards this, more towards the Story So Far staying in more of a somber tone.
I agree with
that. You get the best of both worlds in there. Anyway, tons of nostalgia for this record, because when this record dropped...
I was going to say, you just said that you didn't listen to this.
No, I didn't listen to them. What do you mean? I didn't listen to the second record that much.
Okay.
I listened to Proper Dose a ton.
I was going
to
say.
I listened to Proper Dose probably more than any of the others. But anyway, well, as a record as a whole. But anyway, when this dropped, I was delivering pizzas.
Hell yeah.
So I had a ton of time in my car just listening to music, and this was a heavy hitter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it came on all the time. And so I listened to it probably for the first time in years recently, and I just, like, got hit back of all these, like, emotions. And I gotta say,
pepperoni pizza hit my nose.
I gotta say, like, it definitely wasn't the best paying job I've had, but I think delivering pizzas is my calling, because I think I enjoyed it more than any other job I had, which is sad.
It's okay.
But got to make money, so.
Yeah, usually the more high-paying jobs, the more stressful it is.
Yeah.
Besides retail.
Very true.
People suck.
Yeah. Okay, Roper, tell me about this beautiful record.
Oh, man. I think my standout track on here, like, you already said If I Fall, so I'm going to go with Upside Down. It's all love now. First time I heard this song, I was like, man, what the fuck happened? Because the contents of the song is like, I thought they were going to break up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Proper Dose was going to be their last record. And I was like, and it very well still could be.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on? But like, I don't know, man. I was like, man, are they calling it quits? Because like in the song, he's just kind of like sick of pop punk and like, sick of his like the touring schedule and all this shit, and he's like,
mm-hmm.
he was so angry before, but then he like talks about it in the chorus about how it's all love now and how he's a completely different person. And the interview that I'm about to go over later, like, you'll kind of see like where the roots of this whole album came from,
mm-hmm.
which is actually really dope. But yeah, dude, this record just gives me such good feelings. Like, I would love to see them see like where they matured after this, mm-hmm. to see if they kind of keep this sound but add a little more like flakes of their earlier stuff too.
You know what this kind of reminds me of?
What's that?
It's like if the Story So Far only listened to like Grayscale for
I would more so say like Transit.
Sure. They yeah. already listen to Transit though.
Yeah, but if they went for more of a like Transit sound.
Yeah, more, this is a bad word, but like echoey, if that makes sense. Like, there's a lot of reverb on this record, which is fine. It sounds great.
Yeah.
But like it's, I think it's a lot more pop inspired too.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's kind of where I like just got the grayscale thing. But continue. I apologize.
I can see. I see what you mean. I love this record. I think some more tracks that I like are like "Keep This Up," "If I Fall," "Take Me As You Please." I like that song where he talks about if he's a lawnmower blade. That one's pretty rad too. It's just such a good record, and I think I like it so much because it's so different from the other ones.
Yeah, which is kind of rare. Usually,
it's a nice like. It was a nice change of pace, to be honest.
Well, I really think that like a lot of bands can't get away with it. You know, like if a band changes their song, like it sucks because you alienate your original audience and then you don't have necessarily a new audience for it because that audience probably wasn't listening to what you were doing before. So I just think that like they did the perfect meld of creating something new while retaining what they were doing before.
Yeah, especially with tracks like Keep This Up and the Proper Dose. You have more like pop punky style music in it as opposed to just straight pop.
Yeah,
it's cool. They balanced both perfectly on this album. You want to get into this great interview?
I do. I've been waiting for it because I haven't read it because I wanted you to read it too.
I've actually read this interview about a year or two ago. Actually, maybe like right when this album came out. So it's Kerrang's interview with Parker Cannon, like one of the first ones he's done since like 2013. So this article gives great insight on Parker's absence from interviews and being out of the public eye in between the years of 2013 and 2018. Basically just being the face of pop punk and how the Proper Dose reinvigorated his love and passion for his music and his life in general. I said, great read. So basically what, after the self-titled album and after touring constantly, like he was just fucking burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ended up getting like a one bedroom apartment in Walnut Creek, California. And he started to like disassociate from everybody because like he couldn't relate to all the people that were from his hometown. They were all like doing normal jobs. His family moved to Texas and shit. So he was basically just alone in his apartment and like he was doing some pills and stuff and started to like go down and spiral. And this all kind of spawned from him like not wanting to be Mr. Pop Punk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he really just fell out of love with the genre, quit listening to it, and just, it was not a good time for him. But coming out of his downfall, he found inspiration in not wanting to look back at the band and like frown at being just a staple pop punk band. He didn't want to write about women anymore, and he wanted to focus on the Proper Dose in life. So here's a quote that I took from that interview. He was like, it was like, holy shit, now I have something to write about, he recalls, of that eureka moment. For so long, I'd been searching for a proper dose of life, of music, of drugs, of whatever. It gave me this visceral energy just to write and really pour it all out.
It is kind of cool to like see what led him to write this way.
Yes. I didn't really do this article justice, but if you guys have 10 minutes, just go check it out. I was kind of moved by it just because Parker Cannon's always been like a staple hero for me.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of seeing like the parallels, not necessarily like with me, but like how he's dealt with things, because usually like if I'm like really upset or sad, I start to disassociate from anything and everything and it gets kind of scary and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool to see that I'm not the only person who does that.
Mm-hmm. So, no, absolutely.
Yep.
The article's called, it's by Kerrang, it's called "The Story So Far is Parker Cannon. I fell out of love with music, .. I fell out of love with everything."
Yeah, dude.
Very dramatic. But I like it. So that to the date of 2022, well, fuck, they might still drop a record. Who knows? You know what's going to happen? As soon as we release this record, they're going to announce, or this episode, they're going to announce their
even better record. Though, that would kind of help us out.
I mean, fair enough. But anyway, as of August 12th, 2020, two.
Still waiting.
Still waiting for that new record that has not been announced. So, We wanted to ask, why did they succeed? We were supposed to do our own, but Roper stole all the good ones.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So I just tagged on. Roper, how about you just kind of go down the list? Hang on.
I think they succeeded because they had unmatched aggression in pop punk, highly relatable, realistic, and clever lyricism, tight yet hard-hitting music, staying out of the public eye, which is kind of essential.
Except that one time he kicked that girl off the stage.
Yeah, you can't. Or that time that he fought one of the security guards at Warped Tour.
That guy deserved
it. Oh, he did, for sure.
Yeah, Parker was a hero.
Oh, yeah. Groundbreaking vocals, consistent sound, and tight, consistent touring.
Mm-hmm. Led to his downfall a little bit, though.
You gotta
be careful with that touring, because it is not a lifestyle most people can do.
No.
It's very draining. You're constantly on the road.
Yeah.
Like, I've never done it, but... Roper, what was the listener responses this week?
You want the question?
Yeah, I do. I don't really care about the question, but...
What makes the story so far great?
What is it?
T. Cal said, their rhythm section understands the groove like no one else in the pop punk scene. Their tempos are perfect for a deep head and angry bass-face combo. Okay. And their lyrics/flow are outstanding. The story so far are the perfect band, and that's my biggest red flag, TBH.
I like that. That was actually really insightful.
That's super insightful. Thanks, T-Kells.
Yeah, fantastic. Nico Duricio said, everything makes them perfect.
Heart.
Even the misogyny.
Yeah, misogyny-based lyrics. How dare you have opinions.
Oops.
Empty Space Podcast said, Parker James Cannon.
I like how they know his middle name. That's cute.
I know. It's kind of like they're obsessed with like a pop star or something.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany Lynn Spears. Wait, no. That was Jamie Lynn Spears.
Wait, isn't she the worst one?
No, Brittany's the worst one. It's Brittany, bitch.
No, she's the popular one, is what I'm trying to say.
Jamie Lynn Spears.
She did Zoe 101.
Yeah, she ruined her career because she got pregnant at 16.
Well,
and then they made a whole fucking series of it on MTV.
They did?
16 and Pregnant.
Oh, I didn't know. It's not about her, though.
No.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
If you ever want to, like, feel more comfortable with you, where
you were smoking, you were smoking pot with Kiefer.
I think,
with your boyfriend, Kiefer.
I think my favorite part is, like, the voiceover of the moms when, like, and it just sounds so, it's like obviously a probably like 50-year-old man wrote it, where it was like, and like, I don't remember the names of anybody, but they're like, Jeff went to the grocery store and started talking to his ex, and now I'm uncomfortable. It's something stupid like that. And then it just like shows the clip of like these 16-year-old or sometimes even younger women like having adult conversations with the brain of a child.
Dude.
And it is... So sometimes, you know, my favorite part actually, and it's a kind of a feel good moment. It's when like they actually sound mature for their age.
I know, right?
It's like, okay, there's some hope here.
Dude, there's that one couple who started dating and then they have the kid together, but then their parents started dating.
Oh, I don't know. And, I've seen that.
And then the dad of the 16-year-old boy, his name is Butch.
Yeah.
That's the funniest fucking name ever. Butch.
Oh, it's just Kemp said, yep, Parker James Cannon. Also, it's a good story so far. Dad joke.
Get it?
Mm-mm.
Also, it's a good story so far. Like, it's a great
story. That was all right. Kemp, step it up, buddy. You got this.
Watch Your Tone Vision said, shady emoji.
But anyway, thank you for all the listener responses. Love that. Except your joke, Kemp.
I liked it, Kemp.
I'm sure you did. Okay. All right. Are we ready for the up-and-coming band of the week?
Are you ready?
I'm ready, baby. Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social media. Now, Roper!
What?
This week, we have the band For Lack of a Term with their song, Always Something.
It's always something.
It's always something. Very agreeable right there. So, hailing from the budding music scene of Yonkers, New York, For lack of a term, is an alternative punk rock four-piece known around town and beyond for the unique live sound and energetic performances. Ooh. Frontman Ryan Dempsey and drummer Chris you guys have the weirdest last names. Baristo?
There you go.
Did I get it?
That's how I would have said it.
Okay, cool. Blank, who have worked together on past musical projects, started for lack of a term in 2014. Throughout the year, there have been multiple lineup changes, but Ryan and Chris kept enhancing their sound.
Enhanced,
baby. In 2017, Arthur Warnham was recruited to join on bass. Arthur's post-hardcore background gave the band heavier punk sound. By 2019, Connor Colin joined the group on guitar and backing vocals, completing the sound they have today.
Ooh.
It's kind of like, what's that? Is it Captain Planet or something where they have the rings?
Yeah, dude.
I remember waking up like when I was a kid and like Adult Swim would be showing it or something.
That would have to be, I think it was like on Sunday mornings.
Oh, I don't remember. But I remember seeing it and being like, this is dope. I want a ring like that. Anyways, so what's the story behind this song? This is one of those inside joke songs specific to the band, but in a much more general sense, it's about wanting something so desperately and obsessively that you almost lose yourself in the pursuit. This thing relentlessly slips through your fingers every time it feels like you've come close.
Ooh.
You know what that reminds me of?
What's that?
Thought I'd have a joke ready, yeah. But I didn't. How disappointing.
Well, should we kick it?
Close, but it's always something.
Oh God. What'd you think, dude?
It was pretty rad.
We were both saying so we listened to these songs like what, 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
It seems like probably not that long. And then we had scheduled all this out, so we totally blanked that there was a female vocalist.
Yeah.
Which was, we don't get a lot of those. No. So super happy to have that on the show. I absolutely have the hook stuck on my head. I was singing it before I said Roper. So they did that pretty darn well. Yeah. What did you think, Roper?
I thought it was pretty rad.
You like it?
I do.
What's your favorite part?
It's always something.
You know what my favorite part is? The ukulele.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really hear that pop up.
Mm-mm. We need more ukes, baby.
More ukes.
Even more ukes. Our new friends, for lack of a term, only have 369 listeners.
That was pretty clever.
Did you like that?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Very disappointing.
Yeah, not...
We need more listeners on that.
Come on, guys.
So if you guys liked what you heard, please go check out For Lack of a Term.
As a reminder, you can find our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Our username is PPES Podcast Everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's Instagram.
Instagram.
That's Facebook.
Facebook.
Twitter.
We're doing better.
And more. Please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show grow. Every single song you hear on today's episode will be on a Spotify playlist. You can also find a playlist of our up-and-coming bands from each season, as well as our pop, punk, emo, supremo picks that I curate weekly. Don't forget to check out our new show, Pop Punk Emo Supremo News, for all your weekly news releases, tour announcements, and more. So we got a little update. We decided today,
mm-hmm.
as of this recording,
yeah.
that we're just going to make our new show monthly because...
it's hard to like...
It's hard for us to find new releases right now, and mm-hmm. then especially like pop punk news stories.
Yeah, because they're not super normal. We want to do like everything in the industry that we can find.
Yeah.
But also new releases, sometimes like a ton don't pop up that we would like to highlight. I mean, it's just the summer is kind of winding down, which means that a lot of the releases are going to be winding down.
Yeah, we missed a pretty good chunk earlier this summer.
It's just been a learning process for us, and we want to produce episodes that are valuable for you.
Yeah.
So we are going to do our damnedest to do that for you.
Yeah. Should we do that at the end of each month?
Yeah, I'm thinking the end.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So anyway, yeah, that is very accurate. Once a month. So Roper.
Dude, I had a good hot take earlier.
What is it?
I can't remember what it was.
No. What are you doing?
Don't do any more than what you're paid to do.
Ooh, that's almost a controversial statement.
Yep, and we're just going to leave it at that.
We're going to leave it. No, we got to talk about it.
Why?